Welcome back to Scripture Adventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. Today we're talking about what happens when we give ourselves permission to press pause on our responsibilities and obligations. Slowing down just isn't the American way, and if you've lived for, say, more than a decade, you know this to be true. But you know what I discovered? This is not God's way. I believe that's why each of us have such a longing for rest. You know, that urge to get away, unplug, or simply escape the noise for a while? My husband and I celebrated our 19th wedding anniversary at the beach this past week, and I was amazed by the ways I saw, heard, and experienced God throughout our trip. Isn't it incredible how in tune we can become with the Spirit when we silence the noise and step away from distractions? In today's episode, I want to share three simple lessons from the sea. Ways to find courage to press pause, step away from our to-do lists, and begin recognizing the presence of God in the quiet. But before we dive into today's episode, I want to take a moment to thank each of you for listening. I know some of you are tuning in from your car, some from the gym or during your morning walk, and others maybe while you're doing your chores or simply enjoying a little quiet time with God. Wherever you are, thank you for being here, for showing up each week, and for supporting this ministry and making it what it is. It truly means the world to me. And hey, if you haven't already, go ahead and hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. All right, let's get to it. Lessons from the Sea follows one of my most recent vacations. And friends, I have to tell you, it was one of the best I've had in a long time. What I'm sharing today is just a tiny glimpse into the many ways God spoke to me on that trip. Oh, how I wish you could have been there. In your own rental, of course. To respect our time, I'm going to share three simple truths God showed me. Truths I believe will encourage all of us to press pause a little more often and make space to hear from Him. So, number one, understanding that no is a complete sentence. I know this one is hard. It was for me, and truthfully, it still is. It's something that comes up in almost every conversation I have in small groups or at women's conferences or even just with my friends. But after walking through Lisa Turcor's Good Boundaries, and Goodbyes, I've learned that no is not a bad word. It's not even a guilty word or even a selfish word. It's a complete sentence. Let me ask you something. Do you believe your no stands on its own? Or do you quickly follow it with an explanation, trying to justify why you said it or kind of somehow make it feel less awkward? If so, I've been there too. But as Lisa says, children explain, adults inform. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to act like a child when I'm setting godly boundaries. When Jesus said in Matthew 5:37, "Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." He was teaching about integrity and simplicity in communication. In other words, our words should reflect truth. No manipulation, no guilt, no over-explaining. When our yes and no come from a pure heart that seeks to please God, we don't have to defend or decorate them. This truth ties beautifully to Proverbs 10:19. When there are many words, sin is unavoidable, but the one who controls his lips is prudent. Both passages remind us that wisdom often looks like restraint. Sometimes obedience means saying less, not more. Our need to overexplain or justify ourselves often comes from fear. Fear of rejection, misunderstanding, or disappointing others. But the word tells us that clarity and brevity are marks of maturity and righteousness. When we speak less, we give the Holy Spirit more room to move. When we say no with peace and authority, we invite others to respect the boundaries God has helped us build. Not walls that shut people out, but fences that protect what he's entrusted to us. Think about this as a lesson from the sea. The tide doesn't ask permission to come in or go out. It simply moves as God commands it to. The sea doesn't explain why it recedes or crashes against the shore. It just obeys its creator. Maybe that's the lesson. Obedience without over-explaining. Peace in knowing your no is enough. Where in your life do you need to stop explaining your no and simply trust that God is pleased with your obedience? Ask Him to help you find peace in simple, truthful communication. Once we learn how to embrace the art of no as a complete sentence, something amazing happens. We start to create space, space to breathe, space to rest, space for what truly matters. And that brings me to my second point. Make yourself a priority. This one doesn't come naturally for my husband or me. We both have a deep love for serving and helping others, and we live within the daily realities of raising our oldest son with complex medical special needs. Far too often, our tendency to put everyone else first comes at the expense of our own well-being. But we're both learning that rest isn't selfish, it's sacred. Many women carry an invisible weight, the pressure to hold it all together, care for everyone else, and never stop moving. Somewhere along the way, we've believed an unspoken lie that rest is lazy, that self-care is indulgent, and that a good woman never puts herself first. But that isn't the gospel. Even Jesus stepped away from the crowd to rest and pray. In Luke 5:16, it says, "But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." Friend, if the Son of God made time to step away, then so should we. Christian counselor Dr. Henry Cloud once said, "You are ridiculously in charge of your own life under God's authority. Boundaries are how you steward that responsibility." When we make ourselves a priority, we're not neglecting others. We're actually protecting the vessel God wants to use to love them well. When planning our anniversary trip, I actually longed to be near the water. And my husband, he wanted to do the familiar, our peaceful hill country trips. And let me tell you, I love those. It's our go-to spot when we get away. But this time, I fought for the beach. I needed the sound of waves, the wide open sky, and the breathtaking sunrises and sunsets that only the sea can offer. We decided to bring our dog, which limited our options, and ended up booking a bayside home instead of one directly on the ocean like I had hoped. Arriving in Galveston, we had to pass along the seawall. It was gorgeous and everything I hoped it to be. And if you're from Texas and you know Galveston, it's not usually gorgeous, but it was this week. And as we drove further from the beach toward the West End, my heart sank. I wanted the full ocean experience, the sound, the smell, the sight of the sea, falling asleep and waking up to the sounds of the ocean waves just crashing through my window. But the further we drove, the further the beach seemed to be slipping away. So when we arrived at our rental, I realized God had placed us exactly where we needed to be. You see, the bay offered calm and stillness, while the nearby ocean brought us strength and majesty. Both were within my literal reach, and both spoke to different parts of my soul. It's like God whispered, "I see what you want, Stacy, but I know what you need." Sometimes we fight so hard to get what we think will bring peace, but God knows the precise balance our hearts require. The ocean reminded me of His power, and the bay reflected His peace. Both were necessary for my restoration. God designed rest for you. not as a luxury, but as a rhythm. That's why he modeled it in Genesis 2:2-3, when he himself rested after creation. It's why Psalms 23:2-3 reminds us, he makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He makes us rest because he knows we won't do it on our own. When you rest, you're declaring that you trust God enough to stop striving. You're saying, I don't have to do it all because I know the one who holds it all. Listen to this lesson from the sea. The ocean teaches us about power, but the bay teaches us about peace. Both are essential, just like strength and stillness are both part of the woman God created you to be. Maybe your soul needs the crash of the waves, the reminder that his power is greater than your problems. Or maybe you need the calm of the bay, a quiet assurance that he is near even in stillness. Either way, rest is not wasted time. It's a sacred space. What would it look like for you to make space for rest this week? Not out of guilt, but out of gratitude. Ask God to show you where your soul needs the waves and where it needs the still water. I'm so glad you're still with me. I promise this next point will have you laughing and nodding your head in agreement, because I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one who needs this reminder. All right, point number 3, stay out of God's lane. Confession time. I prefer to drive. I like having my own car when I go places, partly because I enjoy the independence, but if I'm actually being honest, it's also a bit of a control thing. Don't judge me, because I know some of you are the exact same way. What amazes me isn't just how I react to other people's driving, but how those riding with me respond to mine. Being married for 19 years and together for 22 means we've done our fair share of road trips. And let's just say, we've both had moments where the helpful suggestions from the passenger seat were less than appreciated. Recently, I decided I was going to try to stop side seat driving when my husband was behind the wheel. I even came up with a plan. Whenever I felt the urge to side seat drive, instead of blurting out directions, I'd distract myself by online shopping. I told him the more nervous I get, the more money I'm going to spend. It was a joke, kind of, but it became my funny little way of communicating that my lack of control was making me anxious. And here's the thing that I realized. I trusted my husband and his abilities, but I didn't always trust the people driving around us. And the same holds true spiritually. When we tell Jesus, take the wheel, we're not just saying we trust him. We're also saying we trust his ability to navigate everything and everyone around us. And think about it. When you're the one driving and your passenger keeps offering suggestions, slow down, you should have turned there, watch out, right? It's frustrating, right? It makes you question whether they actually believe you know what you're doing. Imagine Jesus feels the same way when we won't stop offering up our suggestions from the passenger seat. Lord, I trust you. Oh, maybe take this route instead. Where are you going, Jesus? Ooh, you know, all the things that we might do. We have to remember our perspective is limited. We only see what's right in front of us, but his view is eternal. The angle from the passenger seat is always different than the one from behind the wheel. Just like our perspective on heaven and earth is different from his, our understanding of direction, timing, and purpose will never match his perfect vision. Sometimes staying out of God's lane means literally keeping your hands off the wheel, resisting the urge to grab control, to dictate outcomes, or to question his timing. Because when we do, we're not just doubting his route, we're doubting his character. And if I can trust my husband to get us safely to our destination, even when I can't see what's up ahead, then surely I can trust the God who knows every turn before I ever get in the car. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." And Exodus 14, 14 says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Think about that as a lesson from the sea. The ocean doesn't try to control the tide. It simply yields to the rhythm God ordained. Just like the sea moves under his command, we are called to flow in his timing, not fight against it. And maybe today, staying out of God's lane looks like taking your hands off the steering wheel of your life and trusting that even when the road feels bumpy or unclear, your driver knows exactly where he's going and exactly what he's doing. So, where are you still trying to take control? In relationships, decisions, or outcome? Ask Jesus to help you release your grip and rest in his direction. The sea has a way of reminding us that rest is not lazy, boundaries are not unkind, and surrender is not weakness. When I look out at the ocean, I'm always amazed at how perfectly it reflects the heart of God. There's a rhythm, a balance, a divine order to it. And if we're paying attention, the sea can teach us more about life and faith than we might think. Let's start by looking at the tides. They move in and out with precision and purpose, pulled by the moon, obedient to a rhythm they didn't create. The ocean doesn't resist the ebb and flow. It yields to it. There's a lesson there for us, isn't there? We too are called to recognize the sacred rhythm God designed. Seasons of pouring out and seasons of pulling back. The tide doesn't apologize for retreating, and neither should we. Saying no and creating space to rest doesn't make us weak or selfish. It keeps us in the rhythm with our Creator. Then there are the sand dunes. Beautiful, strong, and deeply rooted. They stand as natural boundaries between the ocean and the land, protecting what's behind them from the force of the waves. Without them, the coastline would erode over time. The same is true in our lives. Healthy boundaries keep us grounded. They protect our peace, our families, and the callings God has placed within us. The dunes don't move every time the wind changes direction, and we shouldn't either. Once we understand that no is a complete sentence, we begin to stand firm, not in stubbornness, but in wisdom. And then there are the waves. Powerful yet peaceful, relentless yet graceful, they rise high, crash hard, and then rest again in complete surrender. The waves remind me of our walk with God. Sometimes we're soaring with momentum and confidence, and other times we're brought low, learning to trust him in the undertow. But even in their movement, the waves never lose faith in the shore. They always return. That's what surrender looks like, releasing control and trusting that God knows the rhythm better than we do. The sea preaches a silent sermon every day. There is beauty and balance, strength and boundaries, and peace and surrender. So friend, as you go about your week, I want to challenge you to pause and consider, where do you need to let the tide pull you back into rest? Where do you need to stand firm like the dunes and protect your peace? And where is God asking you to stop fighting the waves and simply trust him to lead? You were never meant to live in constant motion. You were created for holy rhythm, for rest, reflection, and renewal. The same God who commands the sea commands your heart, and he's inviting you to move with him, not against him. Let the ocean be your reminder this week. You can say no without guilt. You can rest without apology, and you can surrender without fear. Because when we learn from the sea, When we allow its rhythm to mirror our faith, we find ourselves walking in step with the one who holds both the waters and our weary hearts in his hands. Until next time, keep seeking the wisdom of God like silver and searching for it like hidden treasure.